Welcome to episode 160 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live January 9, 2020. This is a show about Office 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss the topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, we discuss the Office Cloud Policy Service and some recent changes there around baseline security recommendations for your Office clients and some other updates to the service. All the buttons have been clicked. I still don't have permission to my Office apps, but...
What else is new?
Oh, well. Or to my policy configuration page.
You're asking for a lot.
I am a very demanding Microsoft 365 user, and Microsoft should listen to me because I bring in so much money with my single license that has everything.
Yes, you do. There we go. Well. You're what we like to call a bigger enterprise.
Yes, one of those high-profile customers. I thought you were going to call me a millennial for a minute.
No. I would never insult you.
So technically, though, we're both millennials.
It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Side topic. I did hear a really interesting presentation. I should see if I can find a YouTube link to it or if it's out there anywhere from someone that was talking about working with the generation gaps in business. And he brought up the whole millennial fact and that, well, based on like age definitions, you and I really do fall into the millennials, that millennials are one of the generations that actually took a split. So about, he said sometime, I think when you hit around 30, you self-identify with one of the two groups of millennials or you kind of take a split and you either become the... I would say the millennial more like you and I, the hardworking ones, the ones that don't feel so entitled that...
Hold on, you're going to go into lack of entitlement as you opened your day with my single user.
Yes, exactly.
All right, cool. Good.
I like doing the IC board. But there is like two groups of millennials. There's those two and they're almost like opposite groups of millennials, which is kind of interesting. It was an interesting presentation on all the different generations and how they need to all work together and understand each other. And the interesting thing was is that millennials do tend to actually split into two different camps.
Well, like everything else, we're weird. What can I say?
Yes. And the people that dislike the millennials the most are actually the other millennials because they get grouped in and it causes like this whole internal fight among millennials.
I didn't even know that. I was supposed to not like the other millennials, but okay.
Maybe you are one of the other millennials.
Now that I know.
Yeah.
I can be angry at everything too.
You can. Not a problem. What was it, Gen X 2? Is that the generation before us, technically?
I think you're thinking of Generation Pepsi, like Generation Next.
Okay. I'm glad we got that all clarified. As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information, sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro. Should we keep talking about generations?
No, we should not.
This is not our area of expertise. We should probably get out while we're pseudo ahead.
Probably.
If that's even a thing. Or people are going to now respond and say, you guys are entitled millennials. Going to get hate tweets now or something. Okay, back to our topic. So let's pick a topic then.
We had already picked a topic.
Okay, let's dive into our topic.
Okay, let's dive into it. This is going so well today.
This is going to be an interesting episode. Neither one of us slept. You're sick. It's early.
Neither one of us slept. It's early. I'm all hopped up on like Mucinex and yeah, just all the things. If I have to just get up and walk away in like 10 minutes, it's because my nose started leaking, profusely. It's
just... Don't drip on the mic. Yeah, that's gross. Okay, so our topic. I sent you an article last night at, I don't even know what time, like 3 a.m. because I was up working about, and it maybe it was because it was 3 a.m., but the headline drew my attention because it was security baseline recommendations are now available in Office Cloud Policy Service. And after our last episode where we talked about baseline policies and security defaults, the whole security baseline part of that threw me. And I was like, wait a minute, I thought baselines were getting retired, but that's baseline policies and security defaults are kicking in. And security baselines in Office Cloud Policy are something that have absolutely nothing to do with baseline policies or security defaults.
Well, not inside of Azure Active Directory, because we're actually talking about not just Office Cloud Policy, but what is officially called the Office Cloud Policy Service. So it's another kind of tenant level service thing where we can go do additional configuration and pull on some levers to make some things happen, particularly with our Office clients.
Yes. So what I should have actually done is read the entire headline of the article and taken it in context instead of just reading the first two words and getting myself all confused.
Yes. Well, welcome to 3 a.m. Ben.
Yeah, not a good idea. So should we start with the Office Cloud Policy Service? Because you and I were trying to think, I don't think we've ever talked about it before. I'm not sure I even was fully aware of the Office Cloud Policy Service before. So we could start with that and then even dive into what are these security baseline recommendations then for this Office Cloud Policy Service.
Yeah. So taking a step back, if you are an Office 365, or really M365, if you administer Office clients where your users sign in with an organizational identity and they are licensed through one of Microsoft's SaaS services, M365 or O365, you should take a look at a website called config.office.com. And when you go to config.office.com, you're going to have access to a bunch of different tools that have started to come in over time. So one of them is this cloud policy service. I like to think of cloud policy as GPOs for Office, but driven from the cloud. So they are 100% user-based policies, and you know they don't target computer settings or anything like that because they only affect users and they only affect the Office clients that are configured against them to go ahead and get those policies out. So that's kind of one part of it is like you go and say like, hey, we're going to go to config.office.com and we are going to do policy. The other thing, or there's still a few other things that you can do over there. One of them is you can create custom configuration profiles. So those XML files that you use with the Office deployment toolkit. So you do like, you know, setup.exe/configure and you point it to the XML file that says, I only want to install Word and PowerPoint and not Access or Excel, you know, whatever your customization is that you've made against it. You can make those XML files over here as well. So device configurations there. And then you also have things like a link that goes over to the main M365 admin center, where you can do what's new management and manage some of the banners and things that show up for your users inside of Office clients. And I only call this out because if you go to this thing, you're going to be like, whoa, it does a little bit more than policy. It's just yet another admin center that hasn't been consolidated into all the other stuff. Who knows if it ever will be or if it's on a roadmap someplace to be. But it's basically where you go to manage Office clients for users with M365 or O365 entitlements to that.
Yeah.
Clear as mud, right?
Exactly. Especially since I still can't get into it, which I guess brings up, I would assume it adheres. So I have privileged identity management on my account because I was being a good admin, which you were talking about before. But it does take some time to trickle down. But I'm also assuming that all of these portals then technically have to be built to support privileged identity management?
So there's a couple things going on with you and PIM. So when you request access to a PIM role, you are not immediately elevated into that role. There is a lag time, and that lag does vary. I don't actually know if it's documented any place, but I know like from my personal experience, I've seen it take up to like 15, 20 minutes for PIM escalation to actually kick in.
Got it. I have not seen it take that long.
I've seen it in some tenants where it's just like it crawls, especially when it's going to elevate you into like a couple roles. I don't know, like it's not an immediate, hey, I click the button, make me a global admin. And then some of the admin centers, to recognize your new privilege, you have to sign all the way out and sign all the way back in and drop your cookies. It's super annoying.
I tend to use a brand new incognito window after I elevate my privileges to get to admin centers because it just seems to work better.
Yeah.
But that is a little bit beside the topic. So if you do want to start checking out this Office Cloud Policy Service too, like you said, there are a couple requirements around it in terms of version number. So you do have to have an Office 365 Pro Plus license, like you said. So if you're just doing E1 licenses and doing the online services that way and maybe bought OEM versions of Office 2016 or 2019...
This is not for you.
Isn't for you, exactly. This is only for those E3, E5. I don't know, it doesn't say, so I'm assuming it would work for the business premium account or the kind of the business version of Pro Plus, but again, don't mess with business. Just go buy Pro Plus. So yeah, you have to be on Pro Plus. You have to be on at least version 1808 in order for that to work. And user accounts, and this is kind of natural if you're on Office 365, your user accounts, you have to have your Azure AD user accounts, which if you're doing Pro Plus, you better. I don't know that that would even be possible to meet one and not the other. But like you said, you do have to be signed in with it. If you're going to use security groups for this, those have to be in Azure AD. And you do have to be, and this is where the PIM came up, is you need to either be a global admin, a security admin, or an Office Apps admin in order to create these cloud policies within the config. What should we call this? The config portal? The Office config portal? Does it have an official name?
I don't think it is, because I don't know that it does, because in all the documentation, all you ever see is it always says sign into the portal.
It is. So this is not just any portal. What you're saying is this is the portal.
This is, yes, the portal. So when you sign into it in the title bar, it is called the Office Admin Center. So like you go to admin.microsoft.com and that's the Microsoft 365 Admin Center.
Yep.
When you go to config.office.com, that is the Office Admin Center.
All right. So it will forever now be known for as the Office Admin Center.
I'm going to go edit some of those articles and say, instead of sign into the portal, sign into the Office Admin Center.
The Office Admin Center. We should. Homework. So once you sign in, from there, you're able to now go start doing all of these fancy configuration options that we had talked about that, again, are geared toward your office on the desktop. Sorry, I got distracted trying to sign back in and see if it works for me.
You're just a glutton for punishment. If you want me to give you a tenant.
No, it still doesn't work. I give up. You get to walk people through it because I can't see anything. At least in the device configuration, I can get to certain things, just not all the things.
Not policy management. Good. Oh, so you can create XML files. There you go.
Well, that takes you out to a different website.
No, it doesn't.
No, it takes you to a subsite.
Yeah.
In a new window. I can get to the Office customization tool. But technically, that does not require any admin rights because we're just creating an XML file.
Sure.
See, so I get different errors. Some of mine say I have to be a global admin. Some of them say that policy management requires a subscription plan that includes Pro Plus, Office 365 Business, Office... Oh, you can do this with an Office for the web subscription. To get to at least policy management, Physio Online or Project Online?
Well, Office Online is a little bit different for this one, but we can kind of talk about some of the options that are there.
All right. When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic, but sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, there are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudit. So, pick it up. We are all over the place today.
You're doing just fine.
You can blame me.
You're all good. You're ready to go. All right. So once you find your way into the policy center and you start thinking about maybe what you can do with this, as far as I know, and I haven't found the place, if it exists, just like, hey, tweet at us and let us know and we'll update the show notes with it. I haven't seen a consolidated document that says, here's all the policies that you can put into place along the way. So there's kind of two things going on here. There's policy management, and then there's the security policy advisor. So let's just talk policy management real quick, and we can potentially talk about security policy advisor as well. So what you want to do is, once you've PIM'd in and you have all the rights and role assignments that you need to get to where you need, you'll go to customization and policy management and create your first policy. So now you have a little bit of a decision point to make about what kind of a policy are you making, and really what's the assignment that's going to be given to this policy. So you have two options there. When you go to assign, make a policy assignment, the policy can apply to users in your tenancy. And when it says apply to users, it's not going to apply to individual users and groups. It is going to apply to a security group. So there's a one-to-one mapping between a policy and a security group and then the users that live within it. And that's kind of important to just keep in the back of your head. The other thing that you can do with an assignment is you can create a policy configuration that applies to users that access documents anonymously using Office web apps. So that second one, when you say, okay, I'm going to do that, there are just two policies that you're going to be able to configure. So one is allow co-authors to chat within document. So if you want to turn off the Office web app chat functionality, you can absolutely do that, but it's only for anonymous users. And you can also turn off allowing the use of additional optional connected experiences in Office. Great, right? So you're like, what are those? Well, that's the LinkedIn stuff, like Resume Assistant, 3D Maps in Excel, really anything that reaches out to like an external service like Bing or LinkedIn, stuff like that.
So essentially all that AI type stuff they've started adding into Office, that's reaching out to some of the Azure services for those AI type functionality.
So you can go ahead and turn all that stuff off just for anonymous users. And it's just those two. So it's kind of that basic and just what it is. So you'd have a policy that effectively applies to all anonymous users for all Office web apps. And then, you know, you flip those switches to not configured, enabled, disabled, whatever you want to do with them. And those are what you do with these things, because they are very much like GPOs settings. So that's what a lot of them are, is not configured, enabled, disabled, and flip the switch and you're good to go. The other one that's far more interesting is the ones that say this policy configuration applies to users, where then you select a group and then the users who are in that group are subject to that policy. Because then when you light that up, you get like 87 pages. Let me see. There are currently 1,723 policy settings that you can configure through the Office policy service.
Got it. So these really are like GPOs from those ADMX admin templates, only it's just doing the web-based conversion, because it looks like, too, as you start configuring these and they get pushed down to Pro Plus, a lot of these are still just making then registry updates on your machine in order to apply these different policies and configuration settings.
Correct. What you can potentially do is go ahead and remap your existing GPOs, like those ADMX templates, map them into a service like this. So if you don't need computer GPOs, any GPOs for Office that apply to the computer settings, and you're in particularly like a situation where like user settings works, this might be something for you. The other thing to think about is, even if you use computer settings, you may want to start taking a look at this, and if you haven't yet, to think about transitioning your user settings into the policy service. Because now what happens, now that policy is driven out of the cloud, anytime a user restarts their Office client or they sign in, this configuration is going to follow them. So if you think about the whole anytime, any device, anywhere kind of thing, well, that user who goes home and uses their home usage rights to install Office on their desktop so their kids can do their assignments for school in PowerPoint and Word and things like that, the same configuration is going to follow them,
right?
Which is pretty darn nifty, right? It starts to bring together like the whole MAM kind of thing a little bit better, because there's tons of, like, you really do have most of the stuff that's available in the ADMX templates up here.
Got it. Well, and that's what it looks like, is even between that and now being able to even pull some of those ADMX templates into things like Intune for MDM, it is getting really close to that point where you can almost, I'm not going to say you can, but you can almost get rid of AD and still have that same level of control over devices and applications with those GPO ADMX templates. I don't think it's quite there yet, but you can definitely see them going in that direction.
So this is obviously kind of a targeted thing. If you're doing MDM and you're doing Intune and you're going down that path, then awesome. Manage devices. These are for your, I consider something like this to be like,
or unmanaged.
For unmanaged devices. Because you're going to have those home usage rights. And I still want you to be subject to my configuration when you're at home, but I only need that configuration in Word and Excel and Outlook and things like that. I don't need that configuration to muck with your copy of whatever you got going on, like VLC media player, all the other stuff on your desktop, right? Like, I really don't care about that. I care about how you access the data that lives in the tenant and then the configuration of those devices and how they come in. So this gives you a nice streamlined way to kind of target them. So the way it stands today, without having a clear line of sight into all the policies, and like I said, maybe I just haven't looked enough there. There might be some big reference that exists and says all that. So you probably have a lot of work to go through potentially 1,723 settings individually and say, do I want to leave it not configured, enable it? Do I want to look at just the ones where Microsoft has said, hey, we try and tie this back to a security baseline. So back to that very first thing that you mentioned with security baseline in the cloud policy service, or the Office cloud policy service, whatever it's called. So what you can do is you can come into the policy and you just filter for all the ones that say security baseline on them. And there's 84 of those today. So like, for example, one of the ones that comes right up is allow trusted locations on the network. So it's just that switch that allows whether trusted locations can be configured inside of your Office clients or not. Like, hey, I don't want to throw an error when somebody goes in and tries to open this file from this file server over here kind of thing. So what you can do is maybe go in and take a look and say, all right, let's take a look at the security baseline stuff and then go ahead and configure those and see how all that comes together.
Yeah, and that's the nice thing about this article, and one of the things that was nice about this, is that they now have those recommendations. So like you said, when you're looking at 1,000 plus policies, you may not know which ones you want to enable, which ones should we enable first. Now by Microsoft adding these recommended baselines, you can narrow that down quite a bit and kind of look at what does Microsoft recommend out of these 1,000. When you're first getting going, obviously 87 is a lot easier to digest than over 1,000 of them.
Yes.
And these are also probably going to be the ones where Microsoft sees these protecting you. Maybe they see a lot of security vulnerabilities coming in through these, something like some of the legacy file formats or macro signings or blocking Excel from using the dynamic data exchange is another, it's an old process, old functionality that's still there to maintain backwards compatibility, but may open you up to more security flaws. So they're really saying, hey, go make sure these are configured because we feel that these are probably the 87 most important. And I'm going to guess a lot of that kind of comes from security standpoint.
You would hope so, just based on the name security.
Security baselines. Yeah, you, hey. They also call it the portal.
A lot of it's common sense things that maybe customers don't ever make it around to, right? So, you know, not everybody might care about like DDE.
I didn't even know about it till I read this article.
But blocking legacy file formats is something that people do potentially care about. right? And making sure that you're kind of the latest and greatest, so you're not subject to older like CVs or like script-based attacks out of older Word documents or PowerPoints or things like that. Like that all just kind of gets in there, and it's common sense stuff. And I think this just, it goes back to that whole story of making things a little bit easier for everybody.
Yep, absolutely. Everyone on your team is unique. So is SkillMeUp.com. Only SkillMeUp provides the bridge from fundamentals to certification paths to advanced skills to accelerate digital transformation with one subscription and five ways to learn. Start your free pilot today and supercharge your IT and Microsoft Azure skills by visiting skillmeup.com/pilot or click the link in the show notes below. So another one that is in here that is kind of a nice, nifty feature is a lot of times after you install Windows updates, Microsoft will, the next time you open up Word or Excel or PowerPoint, it pops up a little dialogue. Here's what's new. Go try it out. Check this out. All of that is within here now. You can actually configure which of those pop-ups you can see or not. So you sent me a link from somewhere buried in these articles that I can get to despite my PIM not wanting to cooperate this morning.
Well, because this is a link that is found in the Office Admin Center, but then it takes you over to the Microsoft 365 Admin Center. So that's why you can get there.
Although,
it's actually part of the other one.
So apparently my elevation of PIM got activated in Office 365 Admin Center much quicker than the Office Admin Center.
I'm shocked to hear that it was not a consistent experience.
I can hear the shock in your voice. But this does give you each one of those build numbers. So you can go down and look through each build, 1912, 1910, 1909. It does appear that this is only, because I don't think build numbers match up between Mac and Windows. I think this is only Windows because it is probably still using like the Windows registry.
Correct.
To do it.
Yes.
But you can see each one of those new features. So for instance, 1910, there was a key elements best order that applied to PowerPoint and workflows come alive with Flow. That was a new update to Visio. If you don't want your users to see these, maybe you don't want them to go try out Flow and Workflow, or Flow. It's not even Flow. Workflows come alive with Power Automate.
Somebody's been reading the marketing.
Anyways, if you don't want your users to know that you can now have some of these flows in Power Automate work with Visio and do it in Visio, you can now choose to hide these what's new so that users, well, they still get the update and it's still there. It's not blaring in their face, hey, this is new, go try it. And all of a sudden users are maybe trying some functionality that you're not quite ready for them to know about, or you don't care if they know about it and it's there, but you just don't want it to be blasted at them of all these new features and functionality every time they get an update.
Yes. So a couple of things to think about with this one. Like you mentioned, it is currently targeting Windows installations of Office. But to be fair, that whole policy thing that we just talked about, that was Windows as well, right? That was not for the Mac clients or anything like that today. Those are still like off on the side doing whatever it is they're doing.
Right. Well, I think a lot of times you still need to do like JAMFer stuff when you start looking
yes.
at the Mac.
I think that's kind of the preferred path, is go into a third party or go into JAMF and then integrate it with Intune, because JAMF has integrations of all the kinds of things. But
yes.
So for this thing, it is a preview service. Like hopefully that's kind of clear based on the name of Office Management Preview. Sorry, Office What's New Management Preview. Whew. They're just coming up with like such creative things. If you looked at this in the past, like when they announced it a couple months ago, and you're like, it doesn't target my users. Like we don't do monthly, we do semi-annual channel, something else. So that some of that's been fixed. So you can target older channels in there. So semi-annual updates are in there. In addition to monthly channels, you do have to kind of dig around for them a little bit and see what's going on there. They also updated a bunch of the permissions for them. So it used to be that you had to be a global admin to get into that setting, because it makes total sense to make it so you have to be a global admin or global reader, but you wouldn't be able to change anything. But why not be a global admin just to affect change in office, right?
Everybody should be a global admin in your tenant. Yeah. It just makes things easier.
Yeah. So they fixed that a little bit as well. So now if you have the Office Apps admin role, you can get into that preview, you know, start to manage that experience.
And if you do want to go look through them too, they do have that filter in there now as well. So you can actually filter out each of these by the channel. So the monthly, semi-annual, semi-annual targeted, you can filter out by application. You can also filter out the status and if it's shown by default or hidden by default. I don't know that any of these are hidden by default, but it is a filter and it is a column.
I have not seen any that are hidden by default.
That would not be in line with Microsoft's MO to hide these by default.
Yeah, every time I've been in there. So basically the way this one works is, like you said, you basically show or hide, but about anything from 1 to 3 weeks before the release of a new feature, sometime in there, you'll see the feature flags for hiding those banners show up inside of that web page, and then you can go ahead and kind of flip them ahead of time so your users potentially never see them.
Got it. Beautiful. All right. And with that, I know you have meetings to go to.
I do.
Work to do. Hopefully.
You have a nap to take.
I have a nap to take. Hopefully our sleep deprived medicine taking lack of coffee roundabout episode wasn't too horrible to listen to.
Well, you go take a nap. I'm gonna go blow my nose.
You go
hop
work
on a metro.
All right, perfect.
We will chat again in the future.
Sounds good. Talk to you later, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.